But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it? We will be rocking in LA, so let's rhyme it today. Just rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just
yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
That's where he just ooh, rammed it.
Everybody rhyme it. We'll be rocking in LA. Say hello to the Rams today and rhyme it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
Rhyme it.
Hello, champions, and welcome back to Rams Brothers, the pod. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined by the other host of this show, Nick. Nick, it's the off season, and we're officially champions. How are you?
This is the best off season of all time. Let's just be real here as I move my mic closer. I mean, every day, you know, I wear one of these Super Bowl things every single day. I actually tend to wear this one more than the Super Bowl hat. One, because of the fit. And this is the NFC Championship hat for those who are just listening. It has a better fit than the Super Bowl hat. And also, when I go to work, I have a lot more Niners fans at work than Bengals fans. So I usually wear the NFC Championship one just for fun.
You're right. It's whatever it is, that kind of fit of hat. It's like the flex fit, stretch fit hat always fits a little bit better than the strap, whatever it is in the back. I do like the dad hats. I know you're not a fan of the dad hat.
Yeah.
But there's a couple really good Rams.
I have one of those too.
Well, we're back, Nick. We're live on Twitter.
We needed a little break. I think we can go back to like weekly or bi-weekly episodes now, but I think we needed a little bit of a break. I mean, the whole off season and the emotions that went into all of those episodes, and we did a finale episode with our dad, and now are we officially into the next season? Is this like
this is the intro of season 5.
Season 5. Wow.
This is the first off season we enter as champions. I feel like every other off season that we've started episodes off, and you know, you and I have been so grim. We've started
the last couple
to ourselves. Yeah, how are we going to get through this? So
yeah.
2019, remember we talked about champagne problems for like 6 months, and we were like, oh, we're going to build up the roster. We're going to go back to the Super Bowl, back to the playoffs. We'll be fine.
And we were right, you know.
Well, eventually, right. But in that coming season, you know, we had to wait a few years. But
yeah, missed the
every offseason had ended, and it was a little bit grim. And, you know, you kind of had to figure out a way to not necessarily rebuild, but retool, figure out which positions needed the most help. Figure out where you can replug assistants, members, you know, personnel, staff members, front office members, you know, everybody's shifting. And it's tough, Nick. I think when you win the Super Bowl, it's like the cards are reshuffled, you know, after 6 months.
Well,
it's terrifying, right?
Right after the Super Bowl ended, I think like a week, it was Sean McVay is going to retire. They're not going to re-sign OBJ or Vaughn. And I'm missing one. I forget what the other one was. Something crazy.
OBJ, Aaron Donald.
OBJ. Oh, Aaron Donald's going to retire. That's what it was. And I was just like, can I just enjoy this for like 1 minute? I was just like, oh my God, like, why is all this happening to us? But I don't like the way that every, like, McVay is the only pinky that you can kind of put down from those, because he's officially said, I'm coming back and I'm not retiring. But from the more and more information that comes out, the more I get worried about Vaughn, OBJ, and Donald. So we'll see what ends up happening. I still think, as a fan, if a team gives you a Super Bowl victory, like you have a couple years of gravy. Like we were talking today in our family group chat about Denver. About which scenario has been worse, Denver or the Colts. And both of them kind of have been rotating carousel QBs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, but Denver won in the last 10 years. And all of that, you know, that whole carousel and everything, I think, you know, you definitely allow the team to kind of sit on some time when you win a Super Bowl. And now, look, sure, they got Russ. So, like, the whole thing is going to start all over again. So, you know, yeah. I think when you have that Super Bowl victory, you can kind of let some of this stuff play out with less extremes than you would if you didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, I think the Bengals might turn into a dumpster fire fast.
Well, yeah, and there's plenty of proven statistics that show that teams that lose the Super Bowl, unless you're the New England Patriots over the last 20 years, that team comes back and struggles. I don't know if what quarterback has gone back to the Super Bowl after they've lost one. I don't know. Did you know off the top of your head? I know there people were talking about, you know, comparing Joe Burrow, Dan Marino, you know, quarterbacks that go that are in their prime that don't eventually make it back and lose.
Besides Tom Brady, I can't think of the last.
No, one. I know it's such a tricky situation, and then you have to figure out the whole rebuild. And
did Ben go back after he lost to the Cardinals, or did that end their era?
So that he had won. I think he had won twice before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I mean, you talk about just kind of going backwards. They had years of Brock Osweiler and Trevor Siemian and, you know, all Teddy Bridgewater last year and Drew Locke, right? It's grim. And, you know, same applies to the Indianapolis Colts, who are going to be on year five of a brand new quarterback. So I don't want to necessarily go in that territory. And the great thing is about this team is they built stability within their roster, right? If you look at the free agents, and we'll get to this in a couple of minutes, you understand that some of the core pieces outside of Von Miller, OBJ, you know, Jalen Ramsey's locked up. Aaron Donald wants an eventual contract extension, but Cooper Kupp is locked up. You know, Matthew Stafford may get some more dollars. So you take all those different things into consideration, but at the same time, it's a never-ending cycle where the Super Bowl ends and Sean McVay and staff has to figure out a way to replace the five staff members that had already left. And then also at the same time, you know, you're dealing with players on social media trying to, you know, figure out what the next step is, even though it's not necessarily time to start dealing with unrestricted free agents and signing free agents from other teams. You know, all these other things apply. So, I mean, the Super Bowl victory happens, the parade happens, and then you lose Kevin O'Connell, you lose Wes Phillips, you lose Ejiro Evero, you lose Dwayne Stukes, and you lose Marcus Dixon. So those last three guys go to Denver. Wes Phillips and Kevin O'Connell go to Minnesota. So immediately you have to figure out a way to start replacing these guys. Luckily, we stole Chris Beek from Denver. He's a pretty highly coveted guy. He was, I believe he was the defensive pass game coordinator for Vic Fangio's group last year.
He's one of Fangio's guys, yeah.
Yeah, so he's a Fangio guy, right. So, I mean, he kind of comes from that regime, you know, Brandon Staley. So, you don't know what's going to happen with Chris Shula, who's the linebackers coach right now. And he was shown on the parade in Aaron Donald's YouTube videos. He seems like he's in a close circle with the rest of the coaching staff. So, you know, there's all these things that are continuously moving. But Nick, I think back to your point, you still have to take 3 weeks, 4 weeks, the rest of your life to be able to enjoy what we were able to just witness over the last, 380 days or so, because they did finish the job. None of that should be disputed. The way that they did it wasn't cheap. You know, it wasn't just a bought Super Bowl, right? And I think you're going to see copycat league. You're going to see this type of methodology start to kind of trickle out. It started with Peyton Manning, and you were talking about them winning the Super Bowl 10 years ago, and then Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford, and now Russell Wilson.
I think it already has. Like what the Rams have done has started to eke out a little bit. And, you know, credit to Bruce Arians. And, you know, I know nobody wants to give him credit, but Tannehill, too, kind of started this whole, you know, let's bring in like a guy that's better than what we have at the most important position. Like, you know, as much as quarterbacks are coveted and how much we like our guy, if there's an upgrade to this position, we're going to take it. And, you know, I think you're going to see that a lot. I'm actually shocked Rodgers didn't move. But, you know, I really thought he was going to go to Pittsburgh. So
I don't know. I don't think the contract details are finalized yet. I saw 4 years, $200 million.
Yeah, but do you think he's going to play for four more years?
No, I don't think so.
2 years left in him, I think.
Two years, I would think. Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl in 2 years with Green Bay, you would think things have to change. You thought that 2 years ago.
Well, no, I think he just retires if he doesn't get it with them at this point. But
yeah,
I
mean, he's going to go on year 18, 19, 20 with Green Bay. It's pretty miraculous.
Maybe we start seeing some like mid-tier guys get moved to teams that are ready to win now, I think would be something. Like if somebody brings a package to, let's say, like a Detroit or Houston, like for further guy, then maybe they explore it as opposed to just being like, no, we like who we have. So we'll see.
The mid-tier market is interesting, right? Because those are guys that will go anywhere, essentially, right? They're not guys that are going to be in high demand of
kind of like journeyman.
Right. It's not like somebody like Russell Wilson who's going to have to decide between the East Coast, the West Coast, Denver, Philly, you know, there's a pretty clear decision in terms of like where you want to move your family and where you want to live your life. And those are all things that those high market value players are able to kind of make decisions on, like Russell Wilson. But then there's, again, there's Jimmy Garoppolo's, who could end up, you know, who knows where, could end up in Indianapolis, maybe stays with San Francisco, maybe.
Yeah, Garoppolo's interesting.
You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I feel like he's mid to low, to be honest with you. I feel like they kept winning in spite of him in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he didn't even throw a touchdown pass in his first two playoff games this year.
I agree with you. And we can go through Jimmy G stats all we want, but when it comes down to it, he's 6-1 against the Rams. It felt like he made every big throw up until that very last moment.
Yeah, I mean, like in the same vein, Jared Goff is like 8-1 against the Cardinals. You know right. what I mean? Like right. sometimes these guys just are in really good situations.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's they're looking at things from 2018. You know, they're looking at things from that offense 3 years ago. They're looking at things that happened this season. They're also looking back at guys like Greg Olsen, who they're bringing back. Liam Cohn is going to be the offensive coordinator, which I think, Nick, we talked about this for the last 3-4 years. Sean McVay needs some kind of assistant, right? He needs a coordinator. He needs somebody that he can give ideas to and feed. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he does. You talk about him trying to just scheme up the next play in a big moment, right? I think we were watching a YouTube video. There's a mic'd up clip where he specifically thanks Kevin O'Connell for the play call, right?
I think ironically, it could be against the Vikings.
It might've been the Vikings, or was the 49ers in the championship game.
I think there's actually multiple then. Because he definitely does.
There's definitely multiple. But again, it plays more to the point that he needed somebody to come back that has that type of mindset that can give him, you know, additional layers to his offense, that because he's always looking for the next thing. And even if it's in a specific situation, I mean, there's football teams run 81 plays in a given game, right? I mean, how many plays do the Rams typically run in a given game? I don't know, 50, 55. I guess it depends on the
percent or pass plays.
Depends on the game, right? But I mean, in every single situation, the complexity of that play call gets more difficult based on the down and distance, based on the quarter, based on the situation, based on the opponent, based on the matchup, right? So there's all these different variables that come into play. I think that Sean McVay in specific situations can use somebody that he can lean on. And I think Liam Cohn, being a guy that was in LA previously, spent the 2021 season with the University of Kentucky, and the Wildcats ranked 5th in the SEC in scoring offense. So 32.3 points per game, exactly where the Rams want to be in terms of overall point totals per game. 8th in total offense, 425 yards. Obviously, college is a little bit inflated. In the SEC, though, still. And Kentucky is not really a highly coveted football program, but they're on the rise, and Liam Cohn is a part of that. And he could have potentially been on a trajectory to be a head coach, and I think that's kind of where Sean McVay is grooming him towards with this next stint with the Rams. I mean, he's going to be the next guy to get poached. So you talk about Liam Cohn, and then also Greg Olsen. He was the quarterback's coach. Yeah, Greg Olsen was the quarterback's coach in 2017 when Matt LaFleur was still one of the coaches on the roster. Olsen was only in town for one single year before leaving as the offensive coordinator for the Raiders in 2018. And then Olsen will return as a senior offensive assistant to Sean McVay. Raheem Morris staying.
See, now that I think is the biggest thing that nobody's talking about. Morris, I mean, I think I'm going to be honest with you. I think it deals with the racism that the NFL has, that he did not get a starting job.
Yeah.
Because the way that he would adjust every single game in the second half was remarkable. If nobody saw it coming, because he would just bring packages that you hadn't seen in the first half, which is like such a Madden way of coaching. You know what I mean? It's like, get him in the rhythm, and then all of a sudden just come in hard the second half, which I just loved. Morris staying is the biggest sigh of relief going in the 2023 season. No, it's
2023.
Right. The Super Bowl was won in 22, but it's the 22 season.
Correct. And him, Joe DeCamillis, is coming back. Let's do this. Let's do a
is
little.
Is the coaching fellow coming back?
The coach. Yeah, good point. Let's do this. The old fashioned screen share. I gotta do the coaching fellow shot. Hold on, give me a sec. Yeah, he's going on. It's going on year two. Year two. Oh my God! Don't show the script, Dean. Behind the scenes pick. Snapshot. So coaching fellow Lance Schulters now has 1 year of experience. Chris Shula, we talked about. He's been on the staff for 7 years. So he is outside of Thad. And Eric Yarber is the longest tenured coach on the staff. So, I mean, there's an opportunity for him to potentially go elsewhere. I think the likelihood of that is potentially strong considering. So what you can do with Chris Beek, you could bring him in. He could be the defensive pass game coordinator and assistant linebackers coach, and you can keep Chris Shula in his role, or you could just flip-flop the two. I don't know exactly what they're going to be able to do, but keeping Eric Henderson on the defensive line, Thomas Brown, highly coveted. He got a promotion. He's now the assistant to the head coach as well as the running backs coach. So I'm happy with the progression there. I think he's going to be an eventual offensive coordinator. But I mean, last year, Nick, Brandon Staley, Aubrey Pleasant, Brad Holmes, right? It's just all of this turnover year over year. And then again, this year, you know, losing Kevin O'Connell, losing Dwayne Stokes, you know, all these guys that have been around for a while, it's a little bit of a headache. And this isn't even completely filled out yet. I think the positives though lie within Eric Henderson, Thomas Brown, Eric Yarber, Chris Shula, and Zach Cromer. And of course, Kevin Carberry. I mean, when you keep your offensive line coach year over year, we had Kevin Cromer, I think, for 5-6 years. We had him all through, you know, the rise of the Los Angeles Rams from 2016 on. And he was a stable piece. I think he's going to Buffalo now. So that's what we're looking at with our coaches. What are your thoughts on the coaching fellow? You think he sticks around?
I think he'll stick around. I'm thinking he's going to Sean and he's saying, look, I gotta change my title. I need assistant. I can't be a fellow much longer. I can't keep handing out these business cards that say coaching fellow.
You think he even has those?
I would. I mean, I'd have them for a year and then I'd be like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, understandable. Should we transition over to
before we go into free agents, because I know that's like tasty. I'm curious. And I've talked to a couple Vikings fans, and all of them have given me different MOs. But all of them are excited about Kevin O'Connell. And I don't know if it's just McVay's tree just having like a really strong success rate. But, and we may never know unless they do like a documentary about this season. But I know he said thanks, Kevin, a couple times, but how big his role was, because McVay's calling the plays. I'm sure he designed a couple plays, but like I would be a little trepidatious with my Kevin O'Connell excitement if I was a Vikings fan. But that seems to be, I mean, I know they just suffered through Zimmer, but right. That seems to be the one thing that they can all agree on. Not Kirk Cousins or like,
no, that's a good point.
But they're all excited on Kevin, and I would be a little nervous. I think the Vikings have a path of success, but I don't know if Kevin was the right guy to give the coach or like give the head coach to.
Yeah, it's an interesting talking point. I think that you look at Bill Belichick and his coaching tree, not a ton of success outside horrendous. Of Mike Vrabel. Yeah, you can call it horrendous outside of Mike Vrabel for sure. And then you look at Sean McVay's.
Even so, what has Vrabel done besides beat Belichick in the postseason?
I agree with you. And I'm also looking at Sean McVay's coaching tree. You think to yourself, Matt LaFleur, Zach Taylor, who else is on? Brandon Staley, right? You know, these are all winning head coaches in the National Football League for a coach that just turned 36 years old, who gets compared to his peers that are 20, 30 years older than he is constantly. So, you know, while I feel like, yeah, there's an opportunity, you know, potentially with, you know, other coaches to make a transition, to make a pivot. But and I think it's crazy the way that the league works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole thing. Like, I think it's going to be a good fit, but I don't know if it's going to be as exciting as somebody Vikings fans may may seem excited. I just think you have so much talent on that offense that
yeah.
it would be shocking if there isn't just a total flip of DNA on that
I
team.
Think you'll get it. Yeah, I think you'll. And Kevin O'Connell, he was with Bill Belichick. He was on the Patriots. So I think he was the backup to Tom Brady at one point. So he was coached by Bill Belichick. He knows Tom Brady personally. He worked with Jared Goff last year, right? And then he worked again with Matthew Stafford. Spent time with Sean McVay. You know, he's a close buddy. You know, I think that that's how you, you know, leverage your relationship to get to the next position. And I think he'll do a decent job. A lot of these head coaches too, you got to watch early on. They come out and make a splash. They're heavy favorites to be the head coach of the year. I mean, we saw it with Brandon Staley. You see it with Zach Taylor. And then all of a sudden, December comes around and they have difficulties. They struggle and, you know, things change. So we'll see if he can do it on his own. But yeah, pump the brakes, rather.
Yeah.
For Kevin O'Connell.
Don't watch those future Vikings bets is all I'm saying.
I mean, you got to tell yourself that, not me.
Hey, man. my future bets are pretty good. If the Panthers win the Stanley Cup, I am on cloud nine.
That's correct. What did you get in at?
I got them at the start of the season. They were like plus 2,300.
That's crazy. For your sake, I hope they win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Ready for free agency?
Cats. Yeah.
Go Cats. Let's do
it. Going to free agency.
All right. So hold on 1 second. So we got our free agency tracker here that I'm going to share to make life a little bit easier for the Rams brothers.
Let's see.
Can you see it? Okay.
I can see it.
Great. All right. So we'll talk about this live so our listeners can hear what we're seeing. So Von Miller, of course, is top priority. You got to be able to understand all of the back and forth on Von Miller's social media to be able to understand why the situation is so severely dramatic. So day one, which was 3-4 days ago, Von Miller posts on his Instagram story, to-do list, checks off, signing with the Rams, winning the Super Bowl, and then the only remaining tab was run it back, left unchecked. Great.
With a dancing GIF of himself, yeah.
With a dancing GIF of himself, signifying that he's potentially going to be returning to the Rams. Then you look the next day. He's posting pictures. I want to go back to the 5280, which I think is the elevation code for Denver or something along those lines.
Like an exit number or something.
Something like that. It's probably sound like an idiot. I'll get that when I jump back. But I mean, there's been so much drama. He also posted a picture with Russell Wilson. So, I mean, all of these different variables, as you try to take them into consideration, what's he going to do? And then you see a tweet from Jacina Anderson this morning saying that he's still prioritizing his relationship with the Rams. He still wants to focus on that. He wants to see that through. And then I saw Benjamin Albright, who's a really, really close insider to the Denver Broncos, say that Von Miller has a 20% chance of going to the Broncos over the Rams. So to me, what I read today, even after the BS posts, you know, I want that old thing back, the post with Russell Wilson, I still think Von Miller is going to remain a Ram.
Yeah, I think he himself is conflicted. I mean, you know, he's a human being. He spent all of his time in Denver. He probably still, I don't think he probably like sold his place there. I'm sure he still, you know, has that. And it's, you know, he won his first Super Bowl there.
Right.
In no way did it feel like we were renting Von Miller, though. You know, like it felt like he was like immediately a huge key to our success. I got into it today, a Twitter argument with somebody who was saying Rams didn't even need Von Miller. He totally finessed them. The Broncos organization finessed the Rams. I'm like, I don't know who you are. You probably didn't even watch the Super Bowl because they needed every single man on that team to win that game. And his, you know, I can show you highlights on highlights of what he did to make his role on that team important. And just when he's coupled with Donald, he brings a whole nother layer of force of like defense that you're not going to get with anybody else. So right. He may have been the second or third, maybe like fourth most important player on that team in the Super Bowl. Donald, Stafford, Cup, Miller. I think our
when we signed Von Miller, so the Rams actually went 0-3 after they signed Von Miller, which was very difficult to digest. But when they signed, they immediately signed Von Miller. I said to myself, we have a greater chance to go to the Super Bowl. We are most likely now going to go to the Super Bowl because of the mentality that Von Miller is going to be able to instill into the locker room.
When did that he write?
That was the most important letter.
He wrote a letter to the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do. Yeah. I mean, that's there was a dedication. I think there was a unanimous dedication to the Lombardi being the only end goal, right? And every single person bought into that, right? It wasn't just, I think we, not me is a great mentality. You know, you can put that over everything else, but I think when the Lombardi comes into play, you need somebody that has been there before, somebody that has the experience going to that next level and getting it. And we, not me, paired with Von Miller's note, I think eventually brought them into the direction combined to get to where they wanted to be. So what are your thoughts?
I just think I think Von Miller is a, just based on how Aaron Donald's talking about this offseason, it seems almost like if you don't get Von, you might not get Donald, which is terrifying.
I can't think that way. I don't think Aaron Donald has the ability to just step away from the game at this very moment. Because he'll,
saying where he's like, I'll step away for like a year or two, like Jordan, and then I'll come back. And I'm like, why would you do that?
No, I think he'll have an agent in his ear that says it's one, it's different from basketball. Two, you're not Michael Jordan. And three, the greatest of all time doesn't just step away. Right. I think there's, unless again, you're Michael Jordan and it's just an extreme circumstance. It doesn't happen anymore. But I mean, again, if it does happen, I feel like the one thing that we all owe to Aaron Donald is the utmost respect to whatever it is that he decides that he wants to do. If he decides that he wants to retire for a year, I will absolutely respect that and wear his jersey every single game that I go to.
Yeah.
In hopes that he's coming back the next year fresh and ready to go.
No, I mean, I feel like at this point, he doesn't owe us anything else. You know, he brought us to
I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know if I can get through. It's going to be really difficult to get through Rams games without knowing that Aaron Donald's going to be there. But if I know that he's retiring with a plan to come back in a full year after getting his head right, after getting back together with your family, and I think this is going to happen more often with the league being 17 weeks and playing, you know, an extra four games to get into the Super Bowl. It's 21 weeks of football, of games, of mental preparation, of that, like, that's a lot of work. It's half the year, right? So, and it's more when you take into consideration the combine, the training, all the, just everything. I think it's just mentally draining. So Aaron Donald probably just is in the middle or is processing what his decision is going to be. I wouldn't lean one way or the other in terms of what direction he's going to go right now. I mean, my gut tells me he's going to continue playing football. But if things go south over the next couple of years and things aren't going his way, you know, there's, of course, an opportunity to retire early and pursue other things. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just move on because I don't want to talk. I don't even want to live in a universe where Aaron Donald isn't playing for the Rams anymore.
No, but all we do have to say, though, that like that's the respect level we have for him, is he could walk away for 5 years and then come back if he wants, and he's still Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah,
still
I mean, of course. Yet. And then kind of in the same vein, Von Miller doesn't owe us anything because he came here for the 1 year that we had him, because, you know, the deal didn't require anything past that, and he won us the Super Bowl. So I would feel it would hurt if he left, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to respect the hell out of him. And as soon as they release those white Super Bowl patch jerseys, you know, I want to buy me a couple of those.
Yeah, me too. Well, they're coming. Also, tip, if you want to just buy the white jersey and then you could go on Etsy and get an iron-on patch. Could also be a way to do it, save some bucks. Mm. But I understand wanting to get the fully authentic jersey. But again, you know, Von Miller would be, it's an emotional decision. He was only owed us one single year. Like you said, he owed us the Super Bowl and didn't even owe us that and got us that. So I think Darius Williams is going to be a tougher decision, right? He was on a 1 year tender. So I'm interested to see what happens with him. He's an unrestricted free agent. March 14th is when teams can start negotiating,
which is like 4 days from now.
Yeah, which is, it's going to be right around the corner. What is that, Monday, March 14th
mm-hmm.
or Tuesday? So that's when teams can officially enter contract negotiations with unrestricted free agents. And then on March 16th at 4 p.m. Eastern, that's when free agency officially begins. And teams may start signing players or trading players who are under contract. So this is all going to happen really fast, which I think it's an appropriate time for you and I to jump on the podcast and look at players like Austin Corbett and Odell Beckham Jr., Johnny Munt, right? Dante Dion. Are there any that stand out that you definitely feel like you want to keep?
Okay. I don't want to use the definitely want to keep because
okay. we are going to tough terminology. I understand. Jim Everett.
Because thank you. I'll get compared to Jim all day. just don't call me Chris. I just think OBJ definitely stands out, but we are getting Woods back. But then again, if you can have that, the combination of those three, and then somebody like Skoranek doesn't have to come in there. sorry, Ben. You're Super Bowl champ.
Right.
But I just don't – I don't know if you would be able to find a wide receiver room better than that. And
no,
then
I agree.
If he comes back in November, that's a great time to give the team just a complete, like, you know, jumpstart push. And then Van Jefferson.
No, he's not. Van's fine.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, him being like your fourth option would be like, you know, wonderful.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I agree. And then you have, you know, healthy tight ends coming back as well.
Yeah.
You have Tyler Higbee, Jacob Harris,
Munt
and Hopkins.
Out of the list that you just said, I would want to stick with Munt.
But he came back on a veteran's minimum year prior. He's not going to come back on that again. He's worth testing the free agent market. If they can't get anything for him, yeah, they'll bring him back. But I mean, maybe the Rams just, they like him more than anybody else and he can't get anything on the open market. They bring him in again for cheap.
So he'll something that I was weary of, especially when they drafted Henderson, this Rams team always felt very top heavy with offensive weapons, mm-hmm. but they find a way there's one football. They find a way to get every single one of these guys a football. And it also feels like as soon as one of them steps out or steps down, the next man up on the offense is a huge chunk down. Whereas in the defense, like the next man up could even be better than the guy that's on the field.
Yeah,
it's Nick Scott. So, I would prioritize the offense more so than the defense.
The depth within the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I respect that take. I think it's good. I think that you know, you look at a player like Sony Michel, expendable, right? You know, you can go out and again, they traded him. They gave up draft picks to bring him in.
Yeah, but he necessary.
Was a 1 year rental. Yeah. And he was necessary. He was. But I think like depth, right? Like Sony Michel, you need, if you don't bring back Sony Michel, you need somebody exactly like him. Like Austin Corbett at right guard, can't afford to lose him. Brian Allen, can't afford to lose him. And then you got guys like Coleman Shelton, who's a restricted free agent, so most likely will be retained. But you could use some stability on the offensive line. You know, you could use some stability at receiver.
I think Whitworth is 100% coming back, just straight up.
I guess so. I guess he listened to Wayne Gretzky and they're going to pull, they're going to have to pull the jersey off.
Like, I'm more of a, Simpsons Matt Groening mentality as opposed to a Jordan mentality where it's like, if I'm doing something I love, you're going to have to pry me away from it as opposed to, I'll leave on top. It's because like, think about the glory of the Super Bowl that all those Rams just felt. Why would you not want to continue to chase that? You know what I mean? And then like when your tires really can't do it anymore, then is like, that's when I would sit out. You know
it's
what I mean?
Stuff, like, I think it's just stuff you say. And if you're like, I think you're just kind of relating or implying that that's kind of along the lines of what Aaron Donald's thinking. And I think you just, when you go through that many emotions and that's like all you've ever wanted, I know that there was a severe come down just in terms of emotions coming back from Los Angeles and like re intertwining myself back into regular work life every day.
Right? I, that was, I didn't get that. I still wear all my stuff. There'll be times where I'm like, I just freaking spent $74 for gas today, but I'm a Super Bowl champ.
No, of course you always have that and you own that. But I mean, there's when life continues and you know, you're further and further removed from being that Super Bowl champion. I can't imagine what it feels like for Aaron Donald, who has wanted that his entire life as a player has to eventually spend the next, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 months chasing that exact same thing all over again and then do it again the next year. Right. So you can understand from a mental perspective why that kind of mentality creeps in, especially when you're interviewed, you're drunk, you're asked it directly, right? You thinking about hanging up, I don't know, maybe kind of mentality. So that's where it gets tricky. That's where awards.
It's also fun just to keep people guessing.
Yeah.
I almost think in some way, some of these players, and this is just my own speculation, just get like a little, maybe money from like ESPN or like Part of My Take or whatever freaking shows there are, just to be like, hey, just give us something to talk about for the next 6 months until you guys come back. You know what I mean? Like, just like on some level, I feel like there could be like, we need stories. We need stuff to talk about. We can't just keep talking about LeBron. The Lakers suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We could talk about Joe Noteboom. How he's main priority number one for me to resign.
Oh, wow. Doing the speaking in language.
I'm going to go top five based on the list we're looking at, and then we'll move on because this is going to be a continuing hot revolving topic.
Oh, Matt Gay? Matt Gay's got to be up there.
Matt Gay's a restricted free agent, so Rams have the right to his contract first. Another team can make him an offer.
Tag him.
But the Rams can match.
Yeah. Franchise tag him.
I don't know what they're going to do with him yet.
You can. All right,
I'll give you my top five unrestricted free agents. You move them based on what you think of my answers. Sound good?
Go.
Number one, Von Miller.
Yeah, we agree.
Let me write these down so I can
move them. Okay, so Von Miller.
So I can move them. Yeah, you don't even know you're ready to move them. Von Miller's number one because of the mentality that he instilled with the team, everything else we talked about. Odell Beckham Jr. is number two. I feel like I've lived my whole life wanting to see a trio of Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Odell Beckham Jr. on the field at the same exact time. I think that would be the most exciting thing that a Rams fan could ever possibly see in terms of great wide receiver play. Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Oz Hakeem would be the other three that I feel like would even draw close comparisons, or, you know, I don't know, Ricky Prohl. You can mix him in. I don't know. Otherwise, this is the most exciting core. So he's number two. Number three would be Joseph Noteboom because of the uncertainty of Andrew Whitworth, right? I mean, we could wait 2 months, 3 months, and he decides that he wants to retire, or he can re-aggravate an injury, or he can get hurt earlier on in the season, and you still need Joseph Noteboom as security. So he's number three, left tackle. It's the most important position on the offensive line. Number four, the center, Brian Allen.
Yeah.
Got to bring him back.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if it was the kind of center draft that we just went through last year, where you can get a Quinn Miners, or I'm trying to think who the other kid was that Rams fans fell in love with. But again, Brian Allen is 26 years old. He's my number four. And then number five, John Wolford. I'm just kidding. Absolutely not. Number five.
Perkins.
Number five, I'm going to go. See, it's difficult because Darius Williams.
You're not going to put Gay in there?
I don't know. Gay's a restricted free agent.
Okay, so it's a little different.
And of course, like Oboes, I want Oba and Sebastian Joseph Day, and Troy Reuter's a restricted free agent. But like Oboe could be priority if Von Miller moves on. And Sebastian Joseph Day, to me, was on the end of his contract. Like, he's a player that they happily replace with Greg Gaines. He's younger. He's got another couple of years on the contract. It's kind of a no-brainer to move on. That's what they do. They draft, develop, and then move on players who are at the end of their deal.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that's on his way out, so he's not on my list of priority. But then, like, Traven Howard, maybe they pay him. He's going to be 26 years old. Maybe they give him a little bit of money. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Oba. And then again, I mean, you can go back to like Dante Dion and Darius Williams. Like, what are they going to do with that second defensive back position? That's why I have this 2022 NFL free agent tracker up, just in case. I wanted to make sure to look at cornerbacks. Look, there's Darius Williams. Xavier Rhodes is 31 years old. We don't want any part of him. There was another cornerback. How about Stephon Gilmore? Mm. Right? Could be a potential option. I want to see. There was another corner on here that I also was interested in. Where is he? Yeah, I mean, you can go Kyle Fuller from Denver. Chris Harris staying in L.A. I mean, you can get, my point is, you can get a second a second defensive back if you don't retain Darius Williams. Again,
like, at the same time, I think people are going to want to come to L.A., especially if you're they just won a Super Bowl. People want to come here even before they won a Super Bowl because it's freaking, you know, it's sunny California.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to move your – so who was your last – because you gave me four and then you
– Oh, I didn't give you a fifth. Hold on, let me go back real quick. Let's see. Who would be my fifth? Yeah, I'll put D. Will fifth. But I think, again, it's based on a lot of different things, but I think D. Will is a player that can be replaced. And it's not just based off of last year. I think he's a good player. But, again, for the price, I don't know, maybe that you look at drafting somebody. Maybe Robert Rochelle is a player that steps up. You know, maybe you talked about that deep defensive depth that the Rams have. Maybe there are players that can transition. Maybe you bring back on Dante Dion's not going to be able to fill that role. He's a slot guy. I don't know. We'll think about it.
So my list is a little, it has the same people. And then the fifth one I swapped out, but I switched up the order a little bit. Obviously, number one, we have Von Miller, for all the reasons that we stated and what he brings to the table and, you know, his great dances post sack. And then I love Odell. I do. And I think a deal is already in place, and I think he wants to come back. I mean, he talked about taking a discount to stay with the Rams.
Yep.
But prioritizing Allen, I would put him at second just because the center is such a important position. And I just think teams just like defensively, and, you know, this isn't like a real take, but – once you win the Super Bowl, you have the target on your back. I think just teams, defensive linemen are going to want to get to Stafford and destroy him more so than they did last year besides the playoffs. So I think prioritizing Allen is huge. And then I would put Odell right under him, just like right under him, because our wide receiver room is really good. I just think our offensive line – it would need more help. And then Noteboom would be under Odell just because I think we got Whitworth for at least another year. So I would put him, even though he was injured a little bit this year. And then I have Sony. I have Sony or Sonny. Michelle. I have him as the guy that I would like to save just because I loved when we had all three of them going.
Yep.
It was just like a really
outside of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When McVay is like, I'm not calling any more effing run plays.
Yeah. I'm not running anymore, guys. Love that.
That was perfect. Where's the play sheet?
The takes from Bill Simmons where he was just like, yeah, you know, I think that might've been one of the worst coach Super Bowls ever. I don't know why he stuck the run so long.
It's like,
Oh my God. Crazy. You can never get anything.
All right, Kevin, I'm not running it anymore. Kevin, scrap the run plays.
Yeah. And then he calls a crucial run play in the red zone, which was huge. And I'm celebrating after Cam got the first down, but he actually brought it like way closer. But yeah, I also think the reason why I have Michelle fifth is because you may have like a career year for Cam. Like fully coming back. So
yeah, I don't know. I think like when you look up back at the Titans game, or you look back at the Packers game or the 49ers game in the regular season, Brian Allen was one of those weak points, right? I didn't even mention Austin Corbett too, right? Like Corbett's got to be a little bit of a priority. Yeah. So the interior offensive line if you're going to draft and develop some additional players, like this would be the draft to be able to do so, right? Because these guys are going to start to expire. You're going to get a lot of turnover on the offensive line. Rob Havenstein has been here forever. Like, I think this would be the draft to finally start building some continuity.
Was he a St. Louis Ram?
Yeah. Yeah, him, Donald, and Hecker are the last three remaining.
Hecker also stepped it up hugely in the postseason.
Imagine how it would feel to win a Super Bowl after going through the journey of being a St. Louis Ram, now to an inevitable Los Angeles Ram.
Being on Hard Knocks, what, three times?
Yeah, and the headspace that you're now versus 2014, you know, when Jeff Fisher was hired.
I remember watching the Rams games back then under the Fisher era, exclusively for the defense.
Yeah, just two different eternities.
Yeah, it feels like one of the reasons why I wore the Steven Jackson jersey throughout the entire playoff run was because I wanted to summon that defense where it was just like, that was all I'd watch football for, was to see Aaron Donald play and like hold them to like 9 points and we still lose.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
We would lose 12-9.
Yeah.
So I remember.
And now, like, I feel like we should talk about this because I feel like we've reached everything that we wanted to touch on. We no longer have to deal, besides one game a year, maybe two. With Russell Wilson, we play him next year and he's just like, I'm almost a little like, oh man, because we just,
yeah, I know. I kind of feel the same way. Yeah. No, but it's good. I mean,
I love Danger Russ, Robot Russ, you know.
We try to talk ourselves into the fact that, yeah, Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, we get it. I tried to convince myself. Yeah, we've tried to convince ourselves how many episodes that it's probably good for the Rams' defense and defensive coordinators and coaching staff that they have to inevitably prepare for Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson sometimes in back-to-back weeks because you're essentially kind of preparing for the same type of player. You know, now the Seahawks, God forbid they get some kind of drop back passer who wants to, you know, pick apart our defensive backs and stay in the pocket. It's going to be a completely different mentality, more similar to what the 49ers do with Jimmy G.
Well, now you got Trey Lance filling that hole because he is certainly one of those, like, you know, Kaepernick kind of guys where he can beat you on his feet.
Yeah. Well, again, that's a good point, you know, but I don't know.
I could see them bringing somebody in this year if he's not ready, honestly. Well,
if Pete Carroll's going to stay and the GM's going to stay, they're going to try to...
No. I'm talking about San Francisco.
Oh, sure.
Like, I don't know if Trey Lance will even play if they bring in, like, a... I thought there was a chance they brought in, like, Wentz. I mean, I don't know what other journeyman... Honestly, like, this is going to sound like a crap take, but if you put Minshew in on some of these teams... I think they, like, legitimately have a shot.
Minshew has no arm. Minshew could throw the ball 45 yards like a little pinwheel, and it floats like when you're playing keep the balloon up in the air. The ball just goes,
Minshew mania, baby.
No, absolutely not. It's like watching John Wolford. If you want to get excited about Gardner Minshew, you get excited about John. Same shit. It's Matt Saracen.
I'm so happy I didn't have to watch a single Wolford snap.
Yeah. I mean, you got to will those guys to victory. You don't ever need to do that again. You have Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. A Super Bowl champ, Matthew Stafford.
It's been such a great 3 weeks of just embracing Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford, seeing him courtside with the Lakers.
Oh, dude, that game, LeBron just coming up, boom, three.
LeBron goes,
I got a score 56 for you, Super Bowl 56 champ.
No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, he did.
He did?
No, but he said I had to put on a show for you.
I was going
to
say, that's what I heard that, yeah.
Did my impression sound more like Shaq?
Yeah, way more. More I had to put on a show for you guys. Nah, that's not good either.
You're better at McVay.
I'm not running it anymore. it's not good.
That was great. You give me when McVay was embracing Aaron Donald. You can give me one of those impressions.
Oh, I like
Aaron. Aaron, I knew it. I knew it.
He's like, yes, I knew it.
Yeah. That will forever be my favorite reaction. I'm telling you, I could watch that 100 times in a row and enjoy it every single time. In the meantime, Nick and I will be here, what, weekly? We're going to do it bi-weekly. I guess we'll, I mean, do,
we'll see
as needed. I actually, yeah, some of the ideas that we have, what, for this year, we'll eventually upgrade our cameras. So mm-hmm. we'll look a little bit prettier, but at the same time, I think it would be cool, Nick, if we did some like quick hitters and stuff throughout the week. We want to do like a 10-minute, 15-minute episode on specific topics or stuff, or we just want to jump in. It's going to change. This season 5 of Rams Brothers is going to be a big deal.
Yeah. So me and Ryan are talking about doing something where we're at every tailgate. And then Dean will try to get you out of here as much as possible. Just go to every tailgate and do like a live show at the tailgate.
Yep. Yep.
Also, Syrian White, I did not forget about you. Your sweater is coming. I had some difficulties ordering it through the website, but your Rams sweater, your Rams Brothers sweater is on its way. So don't worry about that. Dean, I've been doing a lot of giveaways. Maybe it sparks you to do one sometime soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm on backlog right now. I owe a couple of people.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah, Taryn's going to get mad at me if his sweatshirt
comes out for a couple of days. Oh, send it. It's Taryn. Kill him.
He's going to get it. He'll get it.
You got to send it to him.
Been busy, but we'll get through it. Giveaways to come. This is just the first. This is essentially just the trailer to season 5.
I mean, of what the Rams brothers have in store.
Yeah, this is our first off-season as champions.
Did you see that one video of like this Seattle podcast? I'm not going to shout it out because this one guy is just like so pissed. He's like, the Rams have nothing and they will get nothing in their lives. And it was just really funny to watch it now.
Yeah, it's like, that's how, is that how you choose? I guess now we're choosing to spend time talking about it. But is that how you choose to spend your time on the mic?
I mean, I don't think I act that way towards any fan base, honestly. I respect all fans and all teams, you know, like I'm happy to see other teams prosper. I loved Russ in Seattle, man. He was always fun to watch, especially when it was Legion of Boom. Oh, dude, when that NFC Championship game, them versus the Niners, that was awesome. It was like, what, like 2013 or something?
There was a period of time where they were really good, right? The Legion of Boom was incredible. I don't even know if any of them are even around.
I think if you're a Seattle fan, you have to be upset you didn't get more from Russ, and you have to you have to put that blame on Pete Carroll, honestly. And I think it was our dad that made this point, but he was like, I think if I'm Pete Carroll, I retire now for my legacy.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because I don't know what you do with a Drew Lock.
What do you get? What are you going to get with Drew Lock? You're going to get 4 or 5 wins tops?
Yeah. I know.
I mean,
who are you bringing? Jeff Fisher, if you're Seattle, poach him from the Michigan Panthers.
I mean, are Seattle going to spend all this money and try to bring in free agents? I don't necessarily see that.
No, I feel like they sign like Fitzmagic and he starts a couple games, he wins a couple, and then
I don't know. Remember when they signed Adrian Peterson? They said they were trying to win games after they were like 5-8 last year. They're just, it's not sad because they're a rival to see teams kind of crumble and unwind like this, but it's officially unwinding in Seattle. And I think, yeah, you were probably right. You should have let Pete Carroll just retire on top. But I still think, you know, they may make some moves. They may try to bring in a couple veteran quarterbacks as backups, and maybe they try to draft somebody or, you know, I don't know. They seem like they never try to give up. But it was fun because they were good, because they won the Super Bowl. They were trying to get back to the Super Bowl. We were seemingly always in their way, even with Jeff Fisher. And then when they started to, you know, move towards football purgatory and then eventual football hell, we took over the league. So it's been kind of a fun dominance over Seattle. It's been a fun dominance with Sean McVay, has completely owned Pete Carroll, beat him in the playoffs. I think he was 8-3 against Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. Matt Stafford was 2-0 against him this year. So I've had a lot of fun with Russell Wilson. I'm going to miss him a lot. I know our dad
on my birthday this year. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dean, you want to wrap it up? Somehow, oh my God, we're almost at an hour. It's supposed to be a half an hour epi. What happened?
Yeah, that's all right. We're having fun. All right, let's wrap it up. I'm going to go watch that new Lakers show and have some dinner.
Oh, so good. So good. I'm going to go to the Brew Hall. I put some money on the Lakers tonight. God, I hope they don't lose it for me. But I put it on before they said LeBron was going to turn. So they were -2.5 over Houston. And then LeBron was like, I'm coming back tonight. And then it moved to 7.5. And I got in.
You got him at 2.5?
Yeah, before he said that. So,
oh, that's a lock. Yeah, yeah, we're looking up to one of these again tonight.
Yeah, let's get a victory tonight. Yeah, so let's just enjoy the night. We're still world champs, and we can say that until the end of next season, and then hopefully we can say it until the end of the following season.
Yeah, I mean, you guys should know that all of this stuff is just analysis. We're just keeping ourselves busy until the next game, until the next episode. Yeah.
All right, hold on. Wait, one more thing before we leave, Dean.
All right, what do you got?
I have the wins for the following teams that just made big quarterback trades. And I want to hear, would you go over under?
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Denver, 11.
Under.
Under 11, he says. I like the over.
No, I don't know.
The Commanders, who just got
under.
Carson Wentz. Hold on. 7.5.
That's exactly where I have them. At 7.
You have them at 7.5?
Under.
Under? Undy 7.5, I would take that over. Their division is trash.
I don't think Carson Wentz.
They have two wins lined up against the Giants already.
And who's the other one? Green Bay? Or who's the third?
Seattle. With Drew Lock.
Oh, what's theirs?
6.5.
Oh.
Yeah, see, like, all those overs feel tasty to me.
Undies.
Drew Lock, he's a fun guy, you know? You're not going to win anything big with him, but you could
win. Why is Drew Lock a fun guy? Because he knows Young Jeezy lyrics.
Exactly. He's got some funny highlights.
Dude, everybody knows the lyrics to put on.
That's right, I work for NASA.
Everybody knows that. Not cool.
Sneakily in a power hour. If any of you guys want to watch a Rams power hour, let me know. I'll tweet it at you. Dean, thanks for coming on. This is Nick, the host of Rams Brothers the Pod, signing off.
Nick, thanks for having me on your show.
No problem.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Wait. Is it over?
No, not yet.
Let's try to name a guest that we want to bring on. I'm just having so much fun.
Okay. A guest. How about a current player?
I would love a guest.
Why don't we try to bring on a current player?
Ooh,
how about Troy Reader?
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, you know his mom. he took a picture with her.
I took a picture with Rob Havenstein's mom.
Oh, sorry.
And we didn't exchange numbers.
That's okay. I want my personal goal for this year is to get Kurt Warner. So.
Kurt Warner? Well, then start prospecting, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, brother.
Okay. Love you guys. Peace.
Peace out, Ramily. We love you. Warms up.